Blog Talk Radio.
Do you watch Fox News all day? Are you dizzy from conservative spin? Are you a birther or teabagger? You might be suffering from a condition called barachnophobia. If so, the only cure is Liberal Dan Radio. Thursdays at 8 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio. Warning, Liberal Dan Radio is not a substitute for doctor's advice. Severe cases of barachnophobia may require psychiatric help. This may prove expensive if Republicans repeal health care. Listening to Liberal Dan Radio may cause you to embrace things like facts, logic, and reason. If these symptoms last for more than 4 hours, you have been cured. For more information, go to LiberalDan.com. Liberal Dan Radio, talk from the left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join in on the conversation, it's area code 347-838-8368. That is area code 347-838-8368. Or you can listen and make comments in the chat room on the show page, or you can click on the Skype button on the show page on Blog Talk Radio and connect that way without using your phone. Or if you are listening after the live broadcast and have downloaded the podcast, you can listen and comment on the show thread at LiberalDan.com. On today's episode of Liberal Dan Radio, I'll be discussing the Ted Cruz candidacy and some of the issues pertaining to it. I will be discussing laws that are either being proposed or have passed in Indiana and California dealing with some disturbing anti-gay legislation. And I will also, in the bottom half of the hour, be talking to Caden, who is a fellow Disney freak. I will be talking to him about the proposed bathroom legislation that is going on in Florida, and what the deal is with it, and how it's really stupid, plus taking your calls as well. But first, as always, I'd like to go into a snarky reading of this week's headlines. Ted Cruz relied on his wife's health insurance policy, but she is going on a leave of absence. So this means that the man who wants to repeal every single word of Obamacare is now buying a plan from an Obamacare exchange. How unhypocritical of him. In New Orleans today, a man was found impaled on the top of a fence. Not a lot is known about the situation. However, if I had to guess, I would just say that he might have been unsure about a situation or a decision to make. The Indiana Supreme Court has ruled that school districts are not required to provide bus transportation to school. Next thing you know, they will rule that schools do not need to provide books or desks either. New Jersey wants to pass a bill to allow for the privatization of municipal water supplies without a popular vote. Sure, why not? And while we're at it, let's just privatize police and fire as well. And finally, one of the members of One Direction has decided to leave the band. I have no idea which one it is, but I guess he decided that he wanted to go in a different direction. And that is this week's headlines. Now, again, if you want to call in, it's 347-838-8368. Lots of things to talk about. But one thing I tweeted earlier, and you know, it's, since I tweeted it, it's not Tweet of the Week, obviously. But the there was an argument made in Loving v. Virginia, the Supreme Court ruling that outlawed interracial marriage bans or bans on miscegenation. Now, and, you know, people were making arguments. A lot of the arguments that were made against gay marriage were also made previously about interracial marriage. So one of the arguments made by the Supreme Court in its decision was that if you were a supporter of Loving versus Virginia, then you were a white supremacist. So I'm just going to go out and say that if you are a supporter of either Prop 8 or any other sort of marital discrimination when it comes to allowing or disallowing homosexuals from entering into civil marriage contracts with the same-sex partner with whom they are in a relationship with, then that would make you a heterosexual supremacist. And to me, I think that heterosexual supremacists should be mocked and ridiculed and shunned just as much as a white supremacist would be. That's just my opinion. If you have a difference of opinion, you're free to call in. Let me know. So let's see. First thing, let's go to Ted Cruz. It'll take kind of short. It's got a short amount of time, but a lot of people are trying to expose hypocrisy. And this is one of the things liberals and Democrats a lot of times need better wordsmiths. And not just the politicians, but the people on the ground do. You know, they see an idea and they just run to it like, oh, this is going to be an awesome point I can make. And it kind of goes with the whole thing I was talking about the other week where it's more important to be popular than it is to be right. So several pictures have been posted about Ted Cruz and basically saying, oh, well, if you opposed Obama because he was supposedly born in Kenya, but yet support Ted Cruz, even though he was born in Canada, that makes you a hypocrite. Now, there are some instances where that would be the case, but that is not necessarily true, that it will always be the case that way. If a person wanted to say that Obama being born in Kenya, if he was, which he wasn't, but Obama being born in Kenya or Cruz being born in Canada was in and of itself a disqualifying event that would prevent them from serving in office, but yet you oppose Obama and then you support Ted Cruz, that would actually be an example of hypocrisy. However, since that's not the case, it's not true that just simply being born in another country prohibits you from being president, then they're just also stating falsehoods. Now, the president was born in Hawaii, so he became a citizen at birth. But let's just say for a second that he was born in Kenya, as some birthers have proposed. Barack Obama's mother did not live, would have had to have lived 10 years of her life in the United States, five of which after the age of 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. So she would have had to have lived, been 19 years old or older, in order for her to pass on birthright citizenship to Obama, to President Obama. That's not the case. I think she had him when she was 18. So if Obama was born in Kenya, he would not be eligible to be president of the United States. Ted Cruz's mother, on the other hand, did had him when she was older than Barack Obama's mother. She did live in the United States for the requisite number of years, for at least 5 years after the age of 14 and 10 total years. So that would mean that upon Ted Cruz's birth, he would be eligible to be president of the United States because he is a natural born citizen. So the simple argument being made by liberal folks is that you must be a hypocrite if you oppose it. But if you took the stance that him being born in Kenya disqualified him, but doesn't disqualify Cruz, then you're actually correct if he was born in Kenya. You're incorrect in stating that he was born in Kenya because he was born in Hawaii. But you're actually correct in you know, once you've made that first false assumption, you then make true statements after that. And then there are other examples of these people who, you know, where, you know, some people will say, you know, it doesn't matter where Obama was born. The fact that his dad was not a citizen makes him not a citizen at birth. That is a non-true statement. However, if that's the reason why you opposed Obama's presidency, because you believed that having a non-citizen father precludes you from being considered a natural-born citizen, then you, at that point, cannot support Ted Cruz because his father was not a citizen. And as such, according to your wrong argument, he would not be eligible for president. Therefore, you would have to oppose both of them to remain consistent. Otherwise, you would be viewed as a hypocrite. So, there you have it. But I did promise to say why Ted Cruz is, you know, shouldn't be president. Again, he qualifies because of the laws and the nature of his birth and the timing of his mom living in America makes him absolutely a citizen at birth and therefore a natural-born citizen. However, he says that he wants America to be great again. Great again. What does that mean, great again? Great again means he doesn't think we're great now. That bothers me. I want a president who thinks America's great all the time. Now, you can think a country is great, but yet not support all of its actions. You can think a country is great and seek to make it better. But to state that we would be great again, meaning that at some point in time we were great, we stopped being great, and now we're going to start being great after Ted Cruz somehow becomes president magically. Because there ain't no way it's happening. What I would like to know from Senator Cruz is this. At what point did we stop being great? What was the catalyst? What made this country no longer a great country? Would he say that we dropped 2 nuclear bombs when we didn't have to in World War II? Maybe. Probably not. The reason I say that is because I watched a special and it showed that, you know, Russia was basically knocking down the door on Japan and Japan was going to surrender because they would have had no choice in the matter. So us dropping 2 bombs had nothing to do with getting us out of the war. It had everything to do with us flexing our superior nuclear arsenal in front of Russia, who was right there watching. Anyway. But no, I don't think Ted Cruz would say that at all. Maybe he would say that our trying to interfere in, you know, with Kendra Kennedy, we sort of stopped being great. I don't know. I doubt he would say we stopped being great under Reagan. Maybe it's under Clinton. Maybe. Or maybe, just maybe, we stopped being great as soon as Barack Obama was inaugurated. Do you think that's what he means? It could be. Could absolutely be what it means. I don't doubt it at all. I wouldn't doubt it at all if it was said. But again, I need a little more context before I can make, you know, my final decision on that. But it just seems to me to be silly that if you don't think this country is great, why would you want to lead it? Well, because it would be great again, right? Well, what's... You have to tell us what stopped it from being great, because it could very well be that what your goal, your vision of greatness may very well not be great. I've heard some of what Ted Cruz has suggested, and I don't see greatness there. I don't even see mediocre there. I see, oh my God, batshit crazy there. I normally don't curse in the show, but batshit crazy. Anyway. That is the. Let's go ahead and take the first commercial break. Surprised I haven't had that many bugs so far in this new layout or interface that's going on my studio page on Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, if you want to call in, it's 347-838-8368. That's 347-838-8368. This is Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right.
Are you planning a trip to Disney soon? Do you want help avoiding spending mistakes and making the most of your vacation? Then check out BudgetEars.com, a new site devoted to helping you get the most mouse for your money. What kinds of tickets should you get? Is the dining plan a good deal for you? Should you stay on grounds or not? Should you buy park hoppers? Many other sites are filled with information about what other people like to do, but BudgetEars is geared to help you make the best decision for you. So check out BudgetEars.com or go to YouTube.com/BudgetEars and help make your trip the best it can be. BudgetEars.com is not a travel agency and it is not affiliated with the Disney Corporation or any of its holdings.
I am sick and tired of the propaganda in today's media. You know, we can't have a sane discussion about politics. Well, yes, you can, and it's on RLJS Radio Live with your girls, Monica R.W. and Autumn S. I'm there every week when they discuss Michigan and national politics, job search, unemployment, and more from an independent laugh, sanity-based point of view. So, tune in. RLJS Radio Live, Saturdays and Sundays at 11 a.m. sharp here on the Blog Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman from New Orleans, Louisiana. To call in, it's 347-838-8368. That's area code 347-838-8368. Or, of course, you can always click the Skype button and connect that way if you're on the show page. Or, again, if you're listening after the live broadcast, you can make your comments, questions, concerns, or what have you at the show thread on liberaldan.com. Before the first commercial break, I was talking about Ted Cruz and why he is eligible to be president, and why it's not necessarily hypocritical for some of the birthers to be opposed to Obama's candidacy but not Cruz's. But there are instances of birther theories that would be hypocritical for them to support one but not the other. What the strangest thing are the birthers that support like all of the theories, like Obama was born in Kenya, and his dad was not an American citizen, so he's not a citizen. Plus, his mom didn't live in America for the requisite number of years. Plus, he moved to Indonesia, so he lost his citizenship. Well, if he lost it, that means he had it. Whatever. So there are people who just, you know, I guess we're trying the shotgun approach just to make sure that, you know, he couldn't get elected, which didn't work. But, you know... If you're doing that shotgun approach, I mean, I think you're already hypocritical because you're already supporting contradictory theories as to why President Obama would be ineligible. But Obama was eligible to be president, and Ted Cruz is eligible to be president. I just question somebody who says that we're not great. This is to say that, you know, if Ted Cruz were to say, no, I really think America is great, I just misspoke. I would perhaps take him at his word that he misspoke. I still would probably still find him batshit crazy. Anyway, so interesting things going on. In California, there is a proposed law, proposal. Now, in California, you can pay like $200, and it starts the system, the process of being able to get something made into law. You need to get a certain number of signatures after the fact and then go from there. So this letter was received is February 26, 2015 by the initiative coordinator of the Attorney General's office. And included in that is the complete text of the proposed initiative measure, which is called the Sodomite Suppression Act, a check for $200 payable to the state of California, and initiative certification. Now please prepare the circulating title and summary of the chief purpose and the points of the proposed measure and advise me of the same at my address given below. Sodomite Suppression Act, Penal Code, Section 39, the abominable crime against nature known as buggery, also sodomy, is a monstrous evil that Almighty God and giver of freedom and liberty commands us to suppress on pain of our utter destruction, even as he overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. That's a great place to start a law, a civil law, you know, for our country. What a great place to start. Seeing that it is better that offenders should die rather than that all of us should just be killed by God's just wrath against us for the folly of tolerating wickedness in our midst. People of California wisely command, in the fear of God, that any person who willingly touches another person of the same gender for purposes of sexual gratification be put to death by bullets to the head or by any other convenient method. No person shall distribute, perform, or transmit sodomistic propaganda directly or indirectly by any means to any person under the age of majority. Sodomistic propaganda is defined as anything aimed at creating an interest or an acceptance of the human sexual relations under that between a man and a woman. Every offender shall be fined $1 million per occurrence and or imprisoned up to 10 years and or expelled from the boundaries of the state of California for up to life. No person shall serve in any public office, nor serve in public employment, nor enjoy any public benefit who is a sodomite or who espouses sodomistic propaganda, or who belongs to any group that does. This law is effective immediately and should not be rendered ineffective or invalidated by any court, state, or federal until heard by a quorum of the Supreme Court of California, consisting only of judges who are neither sodomites nor subject to disqualification hereunder. The state has an affirmative duty to defend and enforce the laws written, and every member of the public has standing to seek its enforcement and obtain reimbursement for all costs and attorney fees in so doing. And further, should the state persist in action over 1 year after due notice, the general public is empowered and deputized to execute all of the provisions hereunder, extrajudicially immune from any charges and indemnified by the state against any and all liability. This law shall be known as the Sodomite Suppression Act and be numbered in Section 39 of Title 3 of the Penal Code. He said penal. Pertaining to offenses against the sovereignty of the state, the text shall be prominently posted in every public school classroom. All laws in conflict with this law are to that extent invalid. Wow. I've heard of it, and I didn't actually read it until just now, and that's a doozy. Yeah, so basically, if after 1 year the police haven't started shooting gays in the head, then this law would supposedly give Californians free rein to just walk around and shoot gay people in the head. How do they know that they're gay people? I mean, who knows? Is there a special handshake or secret sign that they give each other? You may assume that someone's gay, but maybe just someone, likes to dress a certain way. I don't know. But the point was is that it was being argued that the Attorney General's hands would be tied in this because she may have to put it into circulation. And my opinion is, why? The law is blatantly and obviously unconstitutional. She swore an oath to defend the Constitution of California and the state and the United States of America. I'm assuming that that's part of their oath of office, that they have to support both the state and federal constitutions. This law is clearly and blatantly unconstitutional. The simplest of minds should be able to discern that. Well, maybe not the simplest of minds, because perhaps the simplest of minds is the one who wrote it. But that being said, she should, in my opinion, she should force him to sue. She should force it, just don't take any action. Say, we're not going to do anything with this. We are not putting this on the ballot. We're not going to even put this for circulation. We're not going to accept any signatures on this because this is blatantly and wildly unconstitutional. And if you want us to do otherwise, then you can bring a lawsuit and force my hand. Until then, I'm not going to do it. That, to me, is what she should have done. Now, what she did do is she did go to court to try and void it, which is a step in the right direction. She basically, this guy Matt McLaughlin, basically she went to court and this is actually getting the ballot. I don't know. I don't know if you could find 365 people in any state who would agree to such a law. Even the most conservative red states in America, I don't know if you could find 365 people. Some people have said that I'm maybe getting more and more pessimistic about, political things, but I really want to believe that even in a state like Mississippi, even in a state like, I'm sure there would be people who would sign, Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, even as populous as Texas is, I would like to think that they would have a hard time getting 365,000 legitimate residents of that particular state to sign such a petition. Now, this is what Kamala Harris petitions. Her statement to the court read, "This proposal not only threatens public safety, it is patently unconstitutional, utterly reprehensible, has no place in civil society. Today I'm filing an action for declaratory relief at the court seeking judicial authorization for relief from the duty to prepare and issue the title and summary for the Sodomite Suppression Act. If the court does not grant this relief, my office will be forced to issue a title and summary for this proposal that seeks to legalize discrimination and vigilantism." I disagree with her in that I don't think her office should be forced to do anything, because I think it would be an abdication of her duty of duty for her to actually go through and push this through. I think she would actually be acting against her oath of office if she would take that step in that direction and actually put this through if the court doesn't step in. Now, I doubt that the court is going to disagree with her. I'm sure the court will say, you know what, hey, you're right, this is a blatantly unconstitutional. This law has, even if it would pass, even if it would collect enough signatures, there's no chance that it could be law and be maintained. It would immediately be stayed and immediately be overturned. Enforcement would be stayed, and then it would be immediately overturned, and no provision in it would be found to be, you know, any sort of, seek any, to, I don't know. It just wouldn't happen. But state of California shouldn't even be bothering with this at all, period, end of story. Anyway, real quick, Indiana, you know, I talked about Indiana in my headlines because their Supreme Court ruled that their public schools are not required to provide busing to schools. They also basically ruled or passed and signed into law the Religious Freedom Act, which, you know, allows businesses to discriminate based on their faith, or the faith of the owners, I would say, because I still have a problem with the idea of a non-living, breathing organization having a faith. So Gen Con had threatened that it would, you know, it's necessary. Some of my nerd friends thought that Gen Con, the owners or founders of Gen Con, basically said, look, we're not going to come back anymore, ever, if this gets passed. I didn't take it as that. I took it as, you know, we will eventually pull out of Indiana if you guys pass this law. I didn't think that, I was under no assumption that that they would be able to pull out this year. They have a lot. It's a huge. I've never been, unfortunately, but it's a huge convention with huge, you know, attendance by both individuals and by vendors. And they're threatening to move it elsewhere. The letter that was sent to Pence, which should be loading on my screen shortly, but basically, I do not believe that it said anything like that. We would break our contract with you this year. I think that it would be, and some of my friends are saying that they should have stopped this year, and I think that would have been impossible. I think moving in that direction is a reasonable thing, but that would be impossible to actually accomplish for this year. Maybe next year, I mean, perhaps they would be willing to pay a fine or something to move to another state, or maybe another state would be willing to help them pay their fines if they would come to their state. It's more than possible that that could happen. But what I took it as is, you know, as soon as our contract is up, if you pass this law, we're going to be looking at other places, and you may very well lose us in the future. So I think holding them to leaving now is ridiculous and just, you know, unrealistic, I guess, for that case. Anyway, so let's go ahead and take our news break in the middle of the show. And come back, I'll be discussing the topic of the Florida bathroom law, If you want to call in, it's 347-838-8368. That's area code 347-838-8368. This is Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. The central role of the United Auto Workers Union in building the American middle class cannot be overstated. At its zenith in 1979, the union had over 1.5 million members. The UAW contracts became the gold standard of blue-collar workers. University of California, Berkeley labor economist Harley Shaken said that the most important model that rolled off the Detroit assembly lines in the 20th century was the middle class for blue-collar workers. Auto workers who attended the special bargaining convention of the UAW in Detroit this week are back in their hometowns now and in their local shops. But their voices reverberate across America as they struggle to reform their modern workplaces and continue the proud tradition of the union in upcoming labor contract talks with America's revitalized auto industry. Kevin Hutchinson is with UAW Local 440 in Indiana.
I'll tell you what, I'm fired up that we can get justice back in our workplace and we can show these younger members what it means to be union.
Helen Hayes is with the UAW Region 1 Women's Council.
Being a woman in a UAW factory, I'm lucky enough to make the same pay as my brothers and sisters next to me, but we know that there's people out there that do not make the same wage, and we need to be able to help them out too.
Chad Johnson from UAW Local 2015 echoes that sentiment, underscoring that the UAW tradition is to try to lift up all workers.
A fair day's pay for a fair day's work. Equal pay for equal work for every member must be at the forefront of any collective bargaining conversation. We must secure economic and social gains for our brothers and sisters. We must bring the bottom up as we are our brothers and sisters keepers.
Donnie Jones is president of UAW Local 977.
As a third generation auto worker, I am mindful of the earlier sacrifices of our brothers and sisters that made the gains both at the bargaining table and at the picket lines that we so dearly enjoy today. By building upon this groundbreaking work, we have the privilege, honor, and responsibility to continue to collectively bargain for both us and for the next generation.
UAW Vice President Cindy Estrada says some auto parts workers are making poverty wages while parts company CEOs make millions. She told UAW workers this week they aren't the only ones angry about the severe economic inequality. She says the UAW can fight it, and many workers across America are ready to join that fight.
You're not the only ones who are sick of it. I don't know if anyone can feel it in the country. People are pissed off. People are ready to fight back. And we have the power to fight back.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting support from the National Association of Letter Carriers and from OPEIU. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, from New Orleans, Louisiana. So join in the conversation. It's area code 347-838-8368, or you can join us via Skype by clicking the Skype button on the Blog Talk Radio page, or ask questions in the chat room. Finally, if you're listening after the live broadcast, you can always leave your comments, questions, and concerns on liberaldan.com on the show thread. For the break, so far the show, we talked about Ted Cruz and why he, you know, doesn't think America is great. But even though he is still legitimately qualified to be president, just as President Obama was, but for different reasons. Talked about the anti-gay measures in Indiana and California. The one in Indiana passed, and I think another company is actually said to. them that they're not going to be relocating to Indiana because of the passage of the law, which, you know, it would be interesting to see what the economic impact of this will be. I'm definitely, you know, not that I have any had any plans to go to Indiana anytime soon. Actually, I would have liked to have gone to Gen Con, perhaps, but by the time I could actually get the time off and the money to go ahead and go do that, and decide to not do Disney that year, or just do Disney as well, so I have the money to do both, it might not be in Indiana anyway. But finally, you know, the final topic of the show, which is the main topic of the show, is going to be the proposed Florida bathroom law. And when covering issues such as this, you know, I am not trans folk. I am, you know, I'm cisgendered. I was born feeling as if I am the gender of my chromosomes. And as such, I don't have this difficulty, but there are people who are. I do like to discuss this issue, these issues, with people who are more knowledgeable about being that way. And if I, you know, fumble all over myself with wording, you know, I try to be the best that I can, but I'm sure Caden will forgive me. Anyway, so I'd like to introduce now my friend Caden. Caden and I are both Disney freaks, addicts, whatever you want to call us, and we also, so we actually got to meet one time briefly, and I'm sure when we come back in early November, I'm sure we'll be able to see Caden again. Hint, hint. But welcome to the show, Caden. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. How's it going?
It's going all right. Basically, this law, your posts have made me aware of the law that was going on and the actual, you know, progress it was getting. You know, surprisingly, you know, becoming, you know, successful and not dying in committee. Because Florida, I mean, it's kind of red. I mean, it elected and reelected a Republican governor, but, you know, it's voted blue presidentially. So it's just weird to me that this would be an issue there. It seems to be like something that would be more likely to be discussed in Louisiana instead. But, you know, the Section 1 of this bill is just, you know, I think the most baffling of it all. The purpose of this act is to secure privacy and safety for all individuals using single-sex public facilities. Now, I don't know if I've ever felt unsafe, you know, in a restroom before, or worried about whether or not what the chromosomes were of the person who might be, you know, in the stall next to me were. But, there's a lot of things to discuss here, so I do want to first get your initial thoughts about this and how this is impacting you, or how it may impact you in the future if it actually successfully becomes law.
Yeah. So my initial reaction was I was dumbfounded that anybody would actually think of something like this, especially here. You know, Florida's kind of known for its LGBT kind of, I guess, umbrella, especially in the Orlando area near the parks and the resorts around here. So I was shocked that it was something that actually didn't get killed in committee. It has a great potential to impact a lot of people in negative ways. Not only me, but the people who will be forced to use the restroom with me eventually, because could you just imagine me walking into Hollywood Studios and going into the women's restroom with my deep voice and my beard and, you know, going to the bathroom, washing my hands and having Mom and little Sally right next to me while I'm, you know, I'm sure that, you know, Mom would really enjoy answering those questions.
Now, I mean, I've had a conversation about, you know, just – there was, like, a man who had inadvertently walked into a female restroom and then realized his mistake and walked out. And I almost did the same thing on one of my recent trips where I wasn't really paying much attention, and I kind of walked, and then two women were in front of me, like, oops, wrong door. You know, it happens. And one of the responses on one of these Disney Facebook pages that I'm, you know, a member of was like, if I would have seen a man coming out of the women's bathroom, I would have kicked his ass. I'm like, really? You know, I mean, people can make mistakes. So if people are going to, you know, ignoring the whole whether or not, you know, what chromosomes you have or what parts you have or what have you, ignoring all of that, you know, people are ready to attack just anybody if they're coming out of the wrong bathroom, if they feel that they're a threat to their wife or their kids, let alone, you know, the confusion that this would create by people who are, you know, either in the final stages of, you can correct me if I'm getting the wording wrong, either in the final stages of transitioning or are, you know, are a post-operative.
Yeah, you got the wording right. I'm not
okay.
I'm not too big on our quote-unquote transgender lingo. As a matter of fact, I usually just say like trans folks because I have no idea.
Yeah.
So don't worry about that. You're all good.
okay.
Yeah, you know, I've seen posts on the news pages here of people saying, you know, like I'll beat the fag to death and stuff like that, and I'm just like, dude, how would you even know? Like, there's probably a really good chance that I've already peed with some of these people in a public restroom, and they have no freaking clue. And you know, it's terrifying to me to think about the fact that if this comes into a law, my life might possibly be put into danger.
Right, and you know, and there's an interesting part of the law which actually states female means biological female or a person who has a valid driver's license or United States passport that describes the person as female when licensed a passport. Male means biological male or a person who has a valid driver's license or United States passport that describes the person as a male on the license or passport. So it seems to me that if somebody is in Florida now, be it from somebody living in Florida or from another state, and that other state actually will, you know, reissue sort of identification, a form of legal identification based off of your actual gender instead of your born gender, or again, I know I'm going to screw it up along the way, but anyway, you know, that such people might be okay in that they'll be able to use the bathroom that they of the gender that they identify with. But not everybody is from such a state. Some states are not as progressive as that, that would allow for such things to take place. And just talking about that, it ignores all of those people who are in the middle of transitioning their gender from their one that they were, you know, they physically look like versus the one that they actually feel like. All those people who are in the process of the transition would not be able to go into their restroom of choice because they wouldn't have the official documentation yet.
Correct. Yeah, and like in states like Mississippi, where I was born and raised, you know, they don't do any type of changes on their birth certificates. So to get a new driver's license, you would have to kind of jump through a lot of hoops. Luckily,
right.
I started my transition after I moved out of Mississippi, so I was lucky enough to move to a state, Florida, believe it or not, that is quote unquote progressive enough to change that out. So I didn't have to worry too much about that aspect of things. My issue with this bill is that, you know, they say it's for safety, and they say it's for safety, and they say it's for safety, but what they're ignoring is that it's not safe for people who are going through the transition at all.
Right. Now, I mean, and is this really an issue? Like, I mean, I'm wondering, of all of the bathroom uses in Florida that takes place in a calendar year, of all the people that use the bathroom, and you know, several people use the bathroom several times a day, especially if they're in a public place like Disney, and you have a lot of people using the bathroom a lot of times during the day. Of all those people going to the bathroom, I wonder how many of those people are actually, you know, has there ever been, you know, how many altercations have there been where, you know, someone who is actually transgendered caused an issue with somebody else?
Right, yeah. And that's the thing that I think about a lot, too, is that, you know, the people who they're making this law for, to, I guess, maybe penalize are going to break the law no matter what. You know, they say it's to protect people from child molesters and rapists. And, you know, you don't see a lot of transgender people in the news who have been accused of raping or molesting children.
Right.
You know, those people are going to break the law no matter what. If there's a sign that says no men in this bathroom, there's probably, you know, if they want to break the law, they're going to break the law.
Right, because they're already showing a propensity or a desire to break an even more serious law of violating somebody sexually. You know, I don't think that this law is going to interfere in that whatsoever. I mean, that idea is ridiculous. And like, who is going to be checking? Like, I look at you. I've looked at several other, you know, people who, you know, they just, I wouldn't think, look at you and say, oh, well, that's obviously a woman, you know, or that person was a woman, you know, or born with female genitalia. I wouldn't assume that. And then how do I go? It's like, I think that person, can we check? You know, really? I mean, I can't even imagine how that's going to go down. I can't even imagine.
The governor did say that he wanted to create more jobs. So I'm guessing.
The cup, bathroom attendant cup check person.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing that they're going to have somebody in there who's like, can I see your ID? Can I see your ID? Like, you know, I completely understand getting ID for alcohol, but to use the bathroom is going to be a totally new line. I'm sure there's going to have to be some sort of fast pass or a TSA pre-approved bathroom for.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because the first bill that you and I spoke about before, in the first bill, there was never anything that mentioned anything about needing assistance.
Right.
They added that in, and I thought that was interesting because if they hadn't added it in, you know, you wouldn't have been able to bring, like, your daughter into the bathroom at Disney
right.
to assist her. But now that they've added that, it's kind of like they were like, oh, crap, we better fix this.
Yeah, like, parents can assist children, and using the gendered bathroom of the assist store, and also under the ADA compliance, the assist store who is the gender of the sister or the person who's helping the person who is disabled is also able to bring that person, male or female, into their gendered bathroom, regardless of whether or not they're male and female too. So then, of course, they also have bathroom attendants, and then there is like the empty bathroom law portion, where like if you're there with your wife and you really have to go, your wife can stand guard and you can go in, and then that's okay. And then they also have the, you know, as one newspaper call it, I really got to go law, which is interesting to me. Because it basically says if you really have to go and you're going to basically crap your pants or, you know, piss your pants if you don't go now, that you can run into the bathroom of another opposite gender, which to me tells me that, you know, if this passes, I can actually, if I really have to go, I can run into the bathroom of the opposite gender too, even though I'm, you know, male and plainly I'm male, and I could just go into the women's bathroom and go take a dump. Poor women. And just go. And then when they complain, I say, the law says right here that if I have to go, I have to go.
Right, yeah.
And they have not, and I think that might be the thing that just, you know, maybe that would make people uncomfortable enough so that you have bunches of people running into the bathroom of the opposite. Although, granted, you know, I think typically the thing is that you usually have lines coming out of women's rooms and men's rooms, so.
I wonder what that's going to do. Is that going to increase the line in the men's room now, or is it going to increase the line in the women's room? That's a whole other ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, so if you got to use the gotta go clause, then you know, I had to go really bad, but then people started making a fuss, so I got the stage fright, so I couldn't go anymore. So
yeah, I've decided that if this bill goes into kind of like the House or the Senate, like if it goes into general session discussion, what I'm going to do is I'm going to find every woman who is opposed to it, who is backing the bill, or who is for it, who is backing the bill. I'm actually going to spend a day in the House following them into the bathrooms and washing my hands and saying, do you feel safer now?
That's a good idea. I mean, what are they going to do? Their proposed law would force you to do just that. So
exactly. Yeah, I think that it would more than anything freak them out. I think that maybe they're not seeing the other side of things. They're just seeing the one side, and they're, you know, they need that wake up call of that transgender person following them into the bathroom and saying, "Hey, what's up?" Like,
and you're expecting people that think this sort of thing to actually think about something?
Well, I mean, I would think so, but I've seen our attorney general and our governor, so maybe not. That's why a lot of my coworkers, we've been talking about this a lot where I work, and a lot of my coworkers are not surprised that this is something that would be brought up here, and that would be advancing because of the because of the people that we recently reelected.
Right. And I think I was there the last time I was there, it was towards the end of the election cycle. I don't think it was actually during the election, but it was towards the end of the election cycle. And it was, you know, again, I think I was there during the fan gate thing where, they brought the fan into the debate and was it Chris who didn't want to come out because the other guy had the fan or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. No, it was Charlie Crist had a fan, and
yeah, okay.
I just call him Lord Voldemort because he looks like him, but he didn't want to come on stage because he had a fan. So
that's crazy.
I don't know. Just, I've been to Florida a lot here, so
it was nuts when I saw that going down when I was there last time. I was like, "What, a fan? You're opposed to a fan? Give me a break."
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, what's really interesting, though, I don't know if you were here for this, but a couple of days later, some of our reporters around town were actually doing some research on it, and the governor had the exact same thing happen, except he had the fan on stage when he was elected originally.
Huh.
Yeah. So
it's good for the goose. It's not good for the gander, I guess.
No.
Yeah, so let's see. Other exceptions. They made exceptions for janitors, so a janitor can come into the, you know, bathroom. But typically, janitors of the opposite gender of what the bathroom is will typically, you know, wait for the bathroom to clear out before cleaning if they are
right.
If they're, you know, because typically, you know, when I'm at work, you know, and you know, someone's a janitor's knocking at the door, and I'm like, I'm in here, and they don't come in. It usually tells me that that person is a female, and you know, then they knock again later. I'm like, I'm still in here. This is. You know,
right.
But basically, I mean, you know, this law is just utterly ridiculous. And, you know, I would hope that everybody listening to this would, you know, if you live in Florida, you know, take action. If you know people that live in Florida, have them take action, because this is just absolutely absurd. And, you know, there are more things to worry about than, you know, whether or not individual is, you know, what chromosomes the individual has that is peeing next to you.
And even then, I mean, we don't actually know what chromosomes people have. I mean, there's a small population that have the opposite chromosomes to what they were born with,
right.
Sex organ wise. So, you know, even then, I mean, it's taken a big jump and a big assumption that I'll tell you what, man, if this passes, it's going to be really interesting to, you know, stand in the bathroom and look at the person and go, were you born with that or was that added on?
Imagine somebody going, I'm walking up to somebody in a bathroom who just happens to be, you know, small in size in a men's room and is like, that's kind of small. Are you sure you're not a woman?
Yeah, exactly. Dude, I don't know, man.
I think I might have to get the authorities in here to make a, you know, let's throw a red flag. That's how they should do it. If you see somebody, like in football, like if you see somebody that might be a violation, you throw a red flag and you call for a review, and then...
throw a red flag, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's how it should be done. Everybody in Florida should be issued a red flag.
Yeah, so you can almost throw 2 red flags a day, and if you lose on a challenge, then what would be the punishment?
I don't know. That'd be a whole other thing. But you know, it might get confusing because you know how the tourists start with their flags. So.
Yeah, the Brazilians might start waving their flags around, and then.
That'd be a lot of challenging. I don't know.
Yes. Well, the Brazilians would probably hand out yellow cards instead of red flags.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
different kind of football.
Yeah.
What's the joke? How many tourists does it take to ruin your time at Disney World, a Brazilian?
That's awesome. I haven't heard that one. That's funny.
I've had problems with Brazilian tourists, but I know a lot of people like start complaining, you know, just like they start complaining about gay days. And my typical response to anybody who's discussing anything about gay days, I'm like, have you ever seen a show at Disney? Every day is gay day at Disney.
Right. Yeah, I know. Well, and, you know, that's coming up soon. And
yes.
So, you know, there's already been talk about, you know, people who might get upset about it. It's funny because people talk on the Facebook pages and I see it and they're like, oh, gay days is coming. You know, I have to avoid this time of the parks. And that's when I'm like, yeah, you avoid that time of the parks. It'll be dead. So I'll go to the park. See ya.
I know. It's like, you know, and I actually think I was there last year because Star Wars weekends took place around the same time. And
I don't think
I ran into anything gay day wise. Like, I think, like, when there was something at one park, I was at the other park. It just, and wasn't even by choice. It just happened that way. It's just very strange. Or maybe all the gay people down there were like, oh, all those nerds at Hollywood Studios, let's stay away.
Yeah, it's funny because, what was it? It was last year, the year before last, I was at work during gay days, and, it was hilarious because somebody was like, what is going on right now? Why is there all this red? And I chuckled and walked away. But one year, my wife and I actually went to Disney over gay days, and neither of us were, I guess, maybe cognitively aware that it was gay days. But, like, I'm walking around, I'm like, man, there sure are a lot of couples here. What's this all about? I don't know if we finally asked or if we ran into somebody who said something about it, but it finally, like, clicked, and we were like, oh, that makes more sense. But those people were so happy and so sweet, and it was great, and, you know, nobody was cutting in line, and it was fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. But, and then, like, somebody mentioned something, I was like, well, I've seen people wearing horrible shirts on during gay days. I'm like, and I've seen straight people wearing horrible shirts, too. You know, it happens.
Oh, yeah. I saw a terrible one in Downtown Disney today. It really made me angry.
Yeah,
did you see my Facebook post about it?
Yeah, the Mickey Mouse flipping off somebody.
Yeah.
Or the Mickey hand.
It was ridiculous. A Mickey Mouse hand flipping somebody off. I was like, what? No way.
I think one of my last days of Star Wars weekends, I saw somebody, and I don't think any kid would have gotten the joke, but it was like a comma and other punctuation, like in sort of certain positions, and it was called the Kama Sutra.
Oh, jeez.
So I was amused. I took a picture of it because I thought it was great. But, you know, and I don't think any kid, that's probably over most kids' head. They would not understand what the point was. And, you know, I don't think many kids would look at, you know, a comma on top of a semicolon or whatever.
Right,
think,
yeah.
Oh, that's something naughty.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, there's a lot of changes going on, and hopefully the bathroom bill will be killed.
Hopefully they'll flush it down the toilet, right?
Oh, yes.
Bad joke. Anyway, do you still have your crowdfunding thing going on?
I do. Yeah, I have a YouCaring page. It's to help me with my gender transition surgery. Unfortunately, it's one of those things that people aren't really covering right now, surgery-wise. So, if you want to, it's YouCaring Medical Fundraisers, and it's Pecs, Not Pillows. So that's my fundraiser. The organization is Pecs, Not Pillows, and that's where you would find it to do any type of donation or encouragement. What is it?
send me a link just on my over Facebook Messenger, and I'll go ahead and I will post that to my Facebook wall, and that'll also update to my Twitter feed, so anybody who wants to contribute to that can go ahead and help you out as well. So,
awesome.
And thank you very much for coming on the show, and I will put that information out there, and anytime you want to come on and talk about these issues or Disney or whatever, feel free to come on and let me know, and I'd be more than happy to have you.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great. I'd love to be on more often and maybe get some talks of Star Wars weekends. And hey, I was in downtown Disney earlier today, and there's a brand new store that's opening up. It's a superhero store based on Marvel. So lots of big changes coming up soon.
So you can't see Thor in the parks, but you might be able to buy Thor in downtown Disney, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, I think this might be the loophole.
Yeah, weird. All these weird licensing things in the Mississippi River that, you know, make me not be able to see, you know, Avengers at the parks, even
right,
though you can see them in Disneyland.
Exactly.
Anyway, well, again, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. Have a good night. Send me that link, and I'll go ahead and post that to everybody. All right?
Absolutely. All right. Thanks a lot, Dan. It was nice talking to you.
You too, man. Have a good one.
All right, man. See you.
Bye. And that is the end of Liberal Dan Radio for this week. Again, if you like the show, I also have my own crowdfunding page. It's gofundme.com/liberaldan, and you can fund the show that way, just giving a general contribution, or you can buy advertising as well. Check my my Facebook or Twitter feed for that. It's facebook.com/liberaldan or at Liberal Dan Radio on Twitter. You can also follow me, again, at facebook.com/liberaldan or liberaldan.com to keep up with shows and to listen to past shows and or comment on them. Until next week at 8 p.m. Central on Thursday, this is Dan Zimmerman with Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right.